Yeah, keep on forgetting how to turn this thing on. I guess I have to tell it I love it. You know, I love you. Are you turned on? That's an old one. You don't think that's funny anymore. Well, you know what I did? This is Greggy Moore books again. I decided I'd recorded enough, so I packed everything up and I put it away. And then I started thinking about pubic hair. And I thought, is that enough of a reason to bring the recorder back out again? And I thought, well, you never know what's important and what isn't. You know, you have to kind of figure that out on your own. And if you don't think it out on your own, somebody tells you. Like, have you considered pubic hair today? And so I started thinking, well, if I'm thinking about it, it's either important or I have nothing else to think about. And I'm 74 years old. So you start thinking back. When was the first time I started thinking about pubic hair? Well, I can tell you it's before there was anything had anything to do with me. But I suppose, I don't know, my mother walked by or something, or, you know, I happened to be in a brothel, you know, when I was 4. That's a slight exaggeration. I think it was when I was 6. And I kind of thought, you know, a woman looks quite beautiful with a nice, well-kept, pubic hair, nice little triangle, kind of balances out. You know, I do art, and I went to the Academy of Fine Arts in Philly, and all the models back then, this was in the mid-60s, you know, 66, I think. I went into service in 66, so 65. And the word around town was that the only girls that didn't have pubic hair were from the Mideast somewhere. In other words, it's a tradition or a religious requirement, which is fine. You know, if you want to make a statement, I think, you know, you troop your woman out front and say, see? And you say, actually, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. But anyway, I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, if I get on stage and somebody asks me a question like, what about pubic hair? Well, the first response is normally, but what about it? I was, what's your question? I said, well, that is the question. What about pubic hair? And so I thought, well, if somebody asked me that, I wouldn't really have an answer, now would I? So I thought maybe I better think about it. So here's what I'm thinking. First of all, if we're talking about women, I think it's a very nice thing to have. For a number of reasons. One is women are nice and smooth. And if they don't have a nice thatch there, they're way too obvious. They're too smooth. They resemble much younger girls. Now I told you I'm trying to, you know, I'm a demot, a dirty old man in training. A demot, domot, domot, yeah, domot. And I have to be concerned about things like this, and so I think to myself, well, if I have an opportunity to see a woman in that particular situation and she didn't have pubic hair, I would start thinking she was much younger than she was. And you know, when you're a dirty old man, and even when you're not, you gotta consider the age. You know, if you're gonna fiddle diddle around and so forth and so on, you got to make sure they're 18 or over. Which is ridiculous because I just read a statistic that 30% of kids between 13 and 16 have already had sex, intercourse, which is a town in Pennsylvania, but I'll get to that some other time. It's just down the street from Blue Ball. Well, you know, if you're a guy who gets an opportunity to get near a girl but doesn't get near enough, number one, you don't get in intercourse, and you end up in Blue Ball. So, and I didn't have to tell you that, did I? Because this is a clean show. I have to be very careful. I wouldn't call it a children's show. I think it's more like a children's show for adults, because most of the people I know haven't grown up, and I'm one of them. And I really don't have much of an intention of doing it. But anyway, I started to think about it. And I have daughters, and I thought, well, I'll go ask them. And then they went, are you a fool? You're not going to ask them that. You know, like, well, what do you think about pubic hair? I said, well, I don't know. Who are we talking about? See, we're not talking about Jasper, you know, the guy who visited last week. You know, never mind. And so I thought I'd better think about this myself and decide how I feel about it. And then if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm right. And I'm not sure there's a right and wrong. I think it's more of an opinion. Like, do you think people should have pubic hair or not? Now, I can't say I talk to God. But anyway, he seemed to think it was a good idea to have it. Because as you grew older back then, that's what you ended up with. And there must have been a reason. Now, if you look at the Garden of Eden paintings and pictures and stuff like that, you know, that the old masters did and stuff like that, by and large, they had something in the way. So you really couldn't tell. So there wasn't a sign out there that says, you know, pubic hair only, or something like that. So you never really knew. So and I've read parts of the Bible, and I don't recall anything talking about pubic hair. But when I was a kid, I thought it was public hair. I thought there was an L in there, you know, public. And so, you know, when I got a chance, you know, I'm standing in front of the window, and I thought, well, look what I got. It just kind of grew in overnight. And somebody threw a rock at the window, and I thought, well, that's probably a pretty bad idea. I think I was, what, four? No, six? No, maybe nine. I think there was what's known in the trade as a hint of hair. A hint. But anyway, and I went to military school, and of course, some had pubic hair and some didn't. And I didn't really give it much thought. I just thought, well, that comes with the body, so you just kind of accept it the way it is. I didn't realize you could manicure it, and you could change color, and you could, there were all kinds of things you could do. I found out, I think it was a friend of mine who said, I have a runway. And I said, you land planes there? He said, no, fool. It's a cut. And I said, bandage? No. You shave in such a way that you have this little runway. And I said, well, what's the purpose of a runway besides landing airplanes? Or hoping, or taking off, you know, what's the difference? Because, as I understand from a medical standpoint, it's a lubricant and it's a buffer. Buffer meaning that you just, in certain places, you just don't want skin on skin. It aggravates everything, and so it's a cushion. And that's why you're supposed to keep it. And back when my mother, I think, was having birth of me, etc. They shave everything off. And because the women used to complain about itching for the first 9 months of the kid's life and blaming the kid for it. You know, if you had been born over in the Mideast or something like that, I wouldn't have had the itch. And he'd say, is that why you call us itches? Well, I left that one alone too. And so in my opinion, I think it looks quite lovely on a woman. But if you start thinking about men, you can get lost in the bushes. It's sort of like, I know it's around here somewhere. And if I wasn't from the Eastern Europe, I'd be able to find it. But anyway, sometimes there's fun with search and destroy, which you military guys are familiar with. And I suppose some in the back corners are familiar with. But the idea is you're not all that impressive when you think about it. So if you shave your pubic hair off, you are technically more evident than you would be if you didn't. Now, if anybody thinks you're getting near me with a razor, yeah, I'll bite your face. I don't see it, and I don't see a little trim job or anything like that. So I decided I had to learn this from somewhere, so I went on the porn sites. I can tell you what's passé and what's popular, and hair isn't. It's not popular. And, you know they turn the sound down when they do those recordings? I didn't know that. And so I looked it up to find out why they turn the sound off when they do those recordings. And I would think it would probably have something to do with the sounds, I mean, obviously. I mean, anybody who's dealt in that type of activity probably is familiar with various sounds, and that's fine. I think the screaming and calling out your name and things like that, that's why turn the sound down? Unless you don't want your mother to hear because she has a bedroom underneath yours. Anyway, do you know why they turn the sound down? Because they don't have pubic hair. You didn't know that, did you? And that's because if you don't have pubic hair and you do what they do, it squeaks. Now, I know you find that hard to believe, but it's sort of like, you know, grandma and grandpa on the front porch in their rockers going back and forth. Can we draw a parallel there and kind of try and figure why naked bodies are squeaking? So, when I got finished laughing about that, I realized that, you know, the typical sounds, you know, people try to apologize for it, sort of. I think the grunting and groaning and all that kind of stuff and the calling out God's name and stuff like that, you know, you pretty well take that in stride. But the squeaking, I always thought it was the mattress and the box spring. and people call me a fool. Yeah. I mean, I was misled. I didn't know. I did a couple of more inquiries as to what to do about this situation. I mean, now, you know, pubic hair is not even an issue because there isn't any. It's just, I don't know where it went, the way of all hair, I suppose. But where'd it go? Who decided that it wasn't attractive anymore? And the search and destroy in a man's crotch has its merits. And I think the only time it's a serious disappointment is if you don't find anything. Your girlfriend's going, look, I've been looking for about an hour and a half, and I haven't found anything yet. And say, well, give me a couple of beers, and we'll follow the yellow stream. And sort of like, follow the yellow brick, never mind. Anyway, you know, because what? Your treasured area is called Oz? The Emerald City? I don't think so. No. And never hang around with a girl named Dorothy, by the way. She's got some really strange friends. So that's pretty much all I have to say about pubic hair. I want to be tactful about that. I don't want to just be, you know, a fool. Now, anybody who tells jokes and funny stories is a fool, because the only people more foolish than that are the ones that laugh at it. So, and the ones that are even dumber than that, they're the ones who pay for it. But anyway, if I was in front of an audience, I certainly wouldn't tell them that, particularly if they're armed with tomatoes. You know, you think about vaudeville. That's what they did. In the Old West and stuff, if they didn't like the act, whatever it was, they picked up everything they had and threw it at the person. And I have only one request when it comes to that. Throw money. Yeah. But I think it's kind of stupid to throw dollar bills, you know what I mean? If you make a little airplane out of it, maybe. But, you know, I mean, never entertain people in a 60-mile-an-hour wind if they're going to throw dollar bills, because somebody downwind is going to get rich, because and you're going to suck, because the only reason they threw the stuff at you was because they didn't like you. They ridiculed you. They're punishing you for trying to be funny. So back then, you know, $5 gold piece, well, that'd be good. $5 like a month's worth of income out in the Old West. I mean, I don't even think the girls of the evening who were over the saloon, I don't think they took paper money. I think it was all, you know, you see the old movies, they used to bite it. And if they could make a little notch in the, or a little scuff in the gold, it was real. Otherwise, it wasn't. And then that guy better have plenty of pubic hair, because it's, you know, it's she gonna be looking for it for only one reason, and you don't want to think about that. But anyway, don't go to the porn sites, and they're very interesting, you know. I mean, they really are. They're very entertaining. And they're very interesting. And why do I say that? Because they have no sexual value whatsoever. None. What it is you're either a voyeur or an exhibitionist. Now, since they can't see you and you can see them, you have to be the voyeur and they have to be the exhibitionists. And then you find out that all these people are getting paid. And somebody said prostitution is getting paid for sex. Why aren't they arresting the whole shebang? I'll tell you why. Because it's legal. Because it's not prostitution. It's exhibitionism and display and stuff like that. All you have to do is put a warning. You know, so if you're a flasher or something like that, you know, you have to wear a sign. So now that's a little more difficult for a woman, because she has to have two signs. But you have to kind of imagine, and you know, you come out of the subway and all of a sudden flash, and the sign says, don't look. You're not old enough. I mean, yeah, but I'm 6 years old, my way home from school. You flash me and you say, don't look, and I have to be 18 years old not to look. I mean, to look, you know, let me get real. But anyway, you know, and what I found out recently, which, you know, I only spend a couple hours a day on porn sites. I'm not a fanatic, And I think 3 hours is a fanatic, maybe four, but two? I mean, by the time you find the right stuff. And believe me, everything's there. I mean, when I first discovered it, I thought, well, this is sex. It goes far beyond that. I mean, they beat each other up, and they hang each other, and they humiliate each other, and they do all kinds of shit. And I don't think I watch out of really interest. I think mainly curiosity. Like, you got to be kidding me. That's my main reaction. Like, what? Look what they're doing to her or him. And say, he thinks it's okay? She thinks it's okay? And then in order to cover it up, at first, they interviewed the people and said, well, what'd you think? And you say, well, I wasn't beaten up as much as I was last time, but, you know, it is fun. And you find out, like Shades of Grey, I understand, you know. You know, you're supposed to beat up the party or tie him up or do something. You know, I knew about the Marquis de Sade. I think he started it all. I didn't know he started the porn industry. I thought, you know, he was out in Hollywood somewhere, or maybe back streets of Dubuque, Iowa, maybe. But, and I was very surprised. Do you know that people in every place on earth has sex? Well, when you start thinking of 7 billion people, thank God they don't all start pushing and shoving at the same time. I mean, you talk about throwing this globe off axis. You know, that's why it's round. You didn't know that either. Because if it was flat, like people said, and everybody was having sex at the same time, I have something that goes along with that. Do you know that back when the Super Bowl was first invented or accepted, whatever, that they had a terrible time with sewers and with plumbing because everybody went to the bathroom at the same time. And you take a little town like, I don't know, you know, Roundup, Minnesota or something. I hope there isn't really a place like that. I don't want to get a phone call. Actually, I never answer the phone. I don't know how. Would you believe that? My daughters gave me a phone and said, Dad, you got to get into the 21st century. What century am I in? Was I in the 20th century then? Well, let it be said, they gave me a cell phone. And they said, here. Now, what am I going to do with that? And they said, well, if you get a call, answer it. I said, how do you do that? And they said, well, you do this, and then you get this screen, and you turn that, and you do this and stuff. I said, they're going to hang up first. I said, I don't know how to do that. And they said, well, then don't take phone calls, send phone calls. I said, how do you do that? And he said, well, you can do it by making noises and sending it, or you can send a text. And I said, how do you do that? And they said, you type it. And I said, with what? And they said, your fingers, but mainly your thumbs. And I said, hey, I remember being in Mr. Busby's class in high school. And the only reason I took, that was typing. And the only reason I took it was because that's where all the girls were. I think I was the only boy in Mr. Busby's class. And I'll tell you what, I can tell you honestly, it's the most important course I ever took for anything ever was typing. I thank myself a million times over. But nobody taught me how to type with two thumbs. And I watch my daughters or whatever, and they're sitting there doing ding, 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 like this. And I'm thinking, wow, you look like you're milking a cow. Now, don't take that image to the streets, guys, because you know, you're going to get hurt. Because somebody starts, you know, doing their thumb thing, and then you start laughing, and they go, what are you laughing at? And you say, I thought you were milking a cow, but I don't see any cows, so you must be on the phone. Well, anyway. So we started out with pubic hair, and we ended up with milking cows. And this is how I usually do it. So I apologize for being me. It was my father's fault. Actually, it's probably my mother's fault. I didn't get along with my father at all. He kind of liked me up to about 9 years old, and then I was it. I think I belonged to somebody else, or I was a mechanical something or other, whatever. And we never talked. We never palled around. We never did anything. We went to boat shows up to about nine. And so I never learned anything. So I had to kind of teach myself. He had a statement, and I think a lot of kids at my age now, it was, do as I say, not as I do. Well, that's great. I'm going to tell you what to do, but don't look at how I'm doing it. It's sort of like, where'd you learn to talk like that? Well, it wasn't you, that's for sure. I went out in the streets, and I learned to talk this way. Motherfucker. No, only kidding. And that's one of the reasons I ramble. And my daughter said to me today, you ought to call yourself Greggy Moore Books, the Rambler. And I said, a Nash? And she said, what? I said, only people over 70 will understand what a Nash Rambler is. And somebody said, isn't that a country western group? I said, no, a Nash was a kind of car. It was? Yeah, they had some pretty neat cars too. As a matter of fact, the Nash had one of the biggest back seats in the world, and I know there are many, many, many children my age who can use the name Nash. Not G-N-A-S-H, like Nash, like, you know. But a Nash Metropolitan was a little teeny-weeny car, usually in turquoise and white, and two people could sit in it. I knew a guy in the 60s who actually had one, and he used to drive to work in it. And every time he showed up, I was absolutely amazed he made it. Well, he did. And so Nash Rambler, it was a car. It was a Rambler. It was a kind of car. It was a Nash Rambler. So now you don't have to be so insulated. If somebody says, are you a rambling man? And I say, no, I'm a Nash man. And I say, is that G-N-A-S-H or N-A-S-H? I said, no, NASH is a department in the government. It is? So yeah, I think they deal with mental health or something like that. I said, you're talking about Congress? The Senate or something? You know? Anyway, in intelligence? Okay. I worked in intelligence. It was called the Crest Diner in Quakertown. That was intelligence. That was true America. That was basic. And I can tell you there was pubic hair there. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's, my thing is kind of, no, I can't tell you that story. Nope. Even though I think everybody's dead and gone, nah. I'll mask it at some point and then I'll tell you what it is. It's kind of funny. Remind me to tell you the story of the watermelons, okay? Like I said, I can't tell you that story right now. So think watermelon. Okay, well, it's about 1:05 in the morning. This is as good a time as any to say goodnight. And so... I played back the first one to my daughter, and she liked it. I said, was it funny? She said, it was amusing. I said, well, amusing is good. I said, it's better than funny. See, funny is something you have to live up to. Amusing, you don't have to live up to anything, because most people are amusing. You know, you go down to local Tappy and somebody's got a story. It's usually funny. But it's more amusing than funny. Because people, if people can identify with what you're saying and they find it amusing, it's probably a very good thing. Very few people rollick through their day laughing, guffawing, and bent over sideways and, you know, laughing at somebody. It does happen. You know, usually one of the places that happens is you're walking down the hall at work and the guy walks out with the toilet paper stuck to his heel. And you poke your buddy and you go, hey, look at that. And you both chuckle. I used to put it on my heel with tape and come out and walk past people. I could hear them in the background. And then I'll tell you one last story. I was a sergeant in the Air Force. And on Wiesbaden Air Base, we had something called a Nibus Club, which is still there, except it's Army now, I think. And, that's a move up, right? And next thing they'll do is make a Marine base out of it, except it's a million miles from water. But, and I'll tell you a story of a friend of mine who's a Marine. Well, he was. I mean, he's gone now, but I'll tell you that funny story. You have to remind me of Ogre and the Beach, and I'll tell you about what it's like to go to the beach with a Marine. The one side of the Nimbus Club was for airmen. That's anything underneath a sergeant, except bodily. I don't mean bodily. I mean, like, less rank, okay? And I don't mean how they smell either. I'm trying to get this story out somehow. But anyway, at a certain time, you had to, quote, dress up, which means put on a tie or at least look reasonably presentable. And the tie was the reason. And I thought about going over with nothing but a tie, but somebody mentioned the air police, and I thought, you mean the ones that used to throw me on the lawn when they bring me back from town? No. But anyway, I knew them pretty well, actually. And so I was in the club, and I wasn't watching the time. So the sergeant who was in charge of the NCO side, because I was an NCO then, I didn't earn it. They just gave it to me. Come up to me and he goes, hey, Taylor, you got to go back. And I said, who are you calling Taylor? He said, oh, I must have mistook you. This guy was a real pain in the ass, and he comes over here and he does all kinds of stupid things. His name's Taylor. And you kind of remind me of him. And I said, Sarge, be nice. You know, the Moorbrook family is a very dignified and long-lasting family. Goes way back. Matter of fact, it's been going way back ever since. Well, anyway, he said, you got to go back to the barracks and you got to get a tie. And I said, and it reminded me of a story of, you know, the Marx Brothers. Do you remember Harpo? He didn't say anything. He just made noises and had a horn and that kind of stuff. Well, Harpo, I guess you had a little background here. He went to a restaurant and he didn't have a tie. But everybody knew him, so the maitre d' said, I'm sorry, Mr. Marks, but you can't come in unless you have a tie. So he made some typical Harpo Marx remark, and he, right there with his wife, he reached down and he took his shoe off. He handed his shoe to his wife. He took his sock off. He had a black sock and one of those not Argyles, but it was a stretch sock from back in the 20s or 40s or whatever, and elastic. So he tied it around his neck and he tied it into a knot, and he took the shoe and he put it in his pocket, and he walked back over to the maitre d'. and the maitre d' said, thank you, Mr. Marks, and they, please follow me. And he went and placed This is a true story. I read it in a book called Harpo Speaks. Great book. They're very funny. It was an interesting family. They're from the same town that I was from, Richmond Hill in Queens. Trump is from that area, and the Marx Brothers and me. Of course, I'm the most popular out of the group, but anyway. So I thought, well, I said, well, I'm just going to go to the can first. He said, that's fine. So I went in and I took a lot of toilet paper and I rolled it up into a tube and I put it around my neck and I formed it into a tie. It was a real tie with a Windsor knot and not a double Windsor, but a single. And I walked out and he goes, Warbert! I said, what, Sarge? And I turned around and he saw the paper tie. This is a true story. And he started laughing. And he laughed and he laughed and he says to me, you're as bad as Taylor. I said, Sarge, come on. And he didn't throw me out. So I had my drinks and stuff like that. And it was around 2 o'clock in the morning, I suppose. And when I went up to him and I ripped the tie off. I just ripped it off of paper. And I handed it to him and I said, listen, thanks a lot, Sarge. I had a very good time. He just waved at me and walked off. And that's a true story. So I thought I'd tell you that just for fun. And whenever I meet that Taylor son of a bitch, I'm going to kick his ass. Anyway, it's an old Family Feud thing. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off. Now it's 10 after 1. No, it's 11 after 1. Okay, so according to the old clock on the wall, it's time to reach up. Now you're going to get some static here. I'm going to reach up and I'm going to take this off. And I'm going to turn it off. So God bless you, even though you didn't sneeze. And I'll see you next go around, all right? Take care now. Bye.